Coming up, Cam Owosso, Republic FC legend, joins the podcast. We discuss Wednesday night's big 4-0 victory and how some of the players coming in off the bench have served so well in that match, and much, much more. Playing with injuries, what it's like playing on the road in Vegas, maybe some exterior motive going to that match. So a lot of stuff coming up from Cam Owosso. Coming up on today's episode, my name is Connor Sutton. This is The Breakaway, a Republic FC podcast. Sacramento Republic FC fans, UC Davis Health is here to keep you in the game so you can score a healthier future. From adult and pediatric care to sports medicine and orthopedics, their providers focus on achieving better health for the very young to the young at heart. Find a doctor you connect with at any of their 17 primary care clinics throughout the region, including Davis, Sacramento, Folsom, Roseville, Rockland, and more. Learn how they can support you at choosehealth.ucdavis.edu. At Elk Grove Charter School, our students chase their dreams. Students advance at their own pace. EGCS offers flexible schedules, small class sizes, and accelerated learning in a fully accredited learning environment. We help students balance their academic goals while pursuing their passions in club sports, performing arts, entrepreneurship, and much more. Elk Grove Charter School is now enrolling. Learn more by going to egcs.egusd.net or give us a call at 916-714-1653. We're confident our students will astound you. Joining us on the podcast today, he's back by unpopular demand, Cam Owosso.
Unpopular, huh?
What's up, man? Wow. I don't know. I just threw that in there. I thought it'd be funny. Thanks for jumping on. We got to see you last night at the match, hanging out, having a good time. Good one for you to come to, obviously. Big 4-0 victory. I mean, you get all four in the first half after kind of a little bit of a tough stretch of games for the Republic. What a bounce back win it was, huh?
I mean, the first half, putting up four in any half is incredible. They, you know, came out firing, just an electric half, great finishes. You know, Russell's was a little bit fortunate to have the ball bounce around and end up at his feet, but he still got to put it in the net, and a couple other spectacular goals to go along with it.
Yeah, we saw Kekko get on the end of one on a beautiful cross from Jack. And I think that's where we got to start, right? Jacker returns to the starting lineup last night after being out for a few weeks with injury, and what a difference it was seeing him back in the lineup. His ability to go up and down on the flank, get out wide, his ability to put in quality crosses, and that's how Sacramento got their first goal. And from there, they were flying. But you know, a guy like Jacker comes in out of the gate ready to go, and I think they only gave him credit for two or one assist last night. I think he should have gotten credit for the second one. But a goal and an assist, and what a return to Hard Health Park it was for him. Don't you think, Cam?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any secret that the offense stalled out a little bit when he was injured. He just is so dynamic getting up that right side, and I mean, his services are just incredible. I mean, that ball into Kekko on his left foot, you know, it wasn't even on his good foot, and it just to whip right. It in, dips it over the head of the defenders, and you know, still a great finish from Kekko, but I mean, that thing was on a platter. Yeah, honestly, the only thing I don't like about Jack is that he wasn't on the team when I was still playing. I think I would have scored a lot more goals if he was out there.
Sounds like you're a little bummed, huh?
Dude, I'm pretty jealous, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's unbelievable. There was a lot of Jacker love last night on social media. I hope he felt it. By the way, real quick, Cam, telling you this story 2 minutes into the podcast. This is typically a story I tell at the end. I'm driving in the back of the stadium through for Gate 12, which you know. I roll down my window to show him my pass, right? And the guy there goes, "Hey, Jack, you starting tonight?" And I got caught, apparently because he thought I looked like Jack. And I got caught so off guard that I then faked an English accent to try and just like, I don't even know what happened. So I basically act like Jack yesterday, and Jack came in after me. So I don't know what happened after that, but yeah, that's just wanted to throw that in there.
That is incredible. That's also just so bad from you to try to go with an accent. I mean,
it wasn't good, man. It wasn't even,
I wish I could have witnessed that. That's incredible.
It was like two words. Cause I knew it was going to be bad. I told Luke and Connor Donovan that story, and then they proceeded to make fun of Jack for that somehow, but we don't have to talk about how they got into him, but yeah, so obviously Jack was unbelievable last night, but you know, Russell getting what I think is 11th goal, which that's a lot, man. He's been flying high, you know, from scoring a lot of goals in your career, had a little drought earlier in the year scoring goals. And, you know, at times I'm sure the goal feels so wide and at times it feels so small. Right. So I'm sure even though, you know, it was kind of one where, you know, he got put on a platter for him and he was kind of just fell into it. That's what happens when you're a good striker, right? You find yourself in a good, and a good goal scorer, and you find yourself in positions to score goals.
I mean, there's no great goal scorer that scores, you know, 15 unbelievable goals in the season. You know what I mean? Like, of course, there's going to be some good ones, and Russell has already been, you know, put away a few pretty special ones. But if you're going to stack up numbers, you got to have those ugly ones too. And, you know, it might not make his highlight tape at the end of the season, but it's still stacking those numbers up.
He's got to be up there. You know, we're in the 10th year. We're talking a lot of all-time stuff this year, right? He's got to be up there for best hair of all time, right? You've been around a long time. That's got to be up there.
I mean, yeah. The long hair, it's a good look, man. Justin Braun comes to mind. You know, he had some pretty sweet locks, you know, the first two seasons. Obviously a fan favorite, part of that championship team. Was the captain, actually. So, he had some good hair. I'm trying to think of who else.
Adam Moffitt.
You know, Adam Moffitt, of course. You know, with
sorry, I got myself on.
Adam did have some serious hair. You know, back in his younger days when he still had hair. You know,
I remember
he rocked some wild hair.
Made in the Shade Tent Rentals is your number one choice for tent rentals in Sacramento and throughout Northern California. From concerts and festivals to corporate events, outdoor dining to private special events, construction, manufacturing, or farming, whenever you need shade, whatever the occasion, we've got you covered. Visit madeshade.com to inquire about options. That's M-A-D-E shade.com. Choosing the right health plan for you and your family is simple with Western Health Advantage. Their plans include wellness programs that put you in the game and on the field with ways to stay fit and healthy. Check out their affordable plans that have been keeping our community strong for over 25 years. Go online to westernhealth.com. That's westernhealth.com for more information. Well, remember the Players Only broadcast we did with you last year and we played some of his goals at halftime? That was when I saw the Adam hair for the first time. Sorry, dude, I'm totally derailing us, but flying high after last night. Okay, so moving on from Russell. It just felt like last night the intensity was different. By the way, there was a couple tackles that Arnold Lopez made. He turned the ball over at one point, sprinted back and made this spinning, turning tackle and took it from the player who had the ball. And I'm like, man, and I've said this a lot throughout this podcast, like his tackling ability is so good. But he sometimes makes some tackles. And I know tackles don't get into the highlights and they aren't often, you know, you don't get to see him over and over and over again. But it was like one of the best tackles I've ever seen in my life. I mean, he is so good in that area. And so him, that and the ability, like the guys just, you could tell they were fired up. And once they scored one, they were hungry for the second and third and the fourth. What that did was it allowed guys to get rest going into a short week against Vegas where it's going to be hot Saturday, legs are going to be tired. So it was a positive on multiple fronts.
Yeah, a few different things there. Arnold, to your point, I mean, the man tackles hard, but he tackles clean for the most part. Obviously, he stacked up quite a few yellows because you don't go into challenges like that and get out of it scot-free all the time. But, you know, that's how you gain a lot of respect from your teammates and from your coaches and from the fans is nobody expects you to be perfect. But when you turn around and go recover and win the ball right back like that, I mean, that's all you can ask for. You know, you're going to lose the ball, especially as a midfielder. You're getting that many touches. Like, you're going to have bad touches, bad passes. But when you can recover like that and you know, regain possession, it's incredible. And everybody respects that. And then, as far as, you know, coming out flying, the game was pretty even. You know, Phoenix had a couple of chances. They, you know, actually skimmed the crossbar on a shot pretty early on. And so it really could have gone either way early on. And then, you know, one moment of brilliance, like I said, Jack cutting in on his left and whipping that ball in for Kecko. And then you could just kind of tell that the air kind of came out of that Phoenix side. And then after the second goal, they really were down on themselves. And you looked over after it was 4-0, you see Phoenix and they're doing an on-field huddle before they kick the ball off again. You know, when you got a team huddling on the field in the middle of the game, like, they're in a bad spot. So, I mean, it's a lot of credit to the team keeping the pedal down and going for the kill. And then, obviously 0-0 in the second half, but it was a smartly played half from the Republic. You don't need to do too much once you've built that lead. Just make sure, you don't give them any life, and ultimately you walk away with a 4-0 result. I mean, that's as close to perfect as you can get.
Yeah, I know. And heading into Vegas, getting guys rest. Jack not fully back, ready to go 90. So getting him off early to get at his minutes restriction. Russell, I think, went and played a little right wing back at the end of that game because that's the situation we're in. But hey, I loved it. Zico Lewis getting the goal, which was good to see him. I've talked a lot about Zico, if he can kind of use this opportunity to really spring himself forward, maybe he starts getting more starts. And makes things difficult for Mark Briggs when Herrera comes back and a few others come back. Kecko, as you mentioned, scoring the first goal. So many positives last night. It's so funny compared to the New Mexico game where it seemed like there were very little positives, even though that game was competitive until the first goal went in. It's just a completely turn. And like, so Cam, you've been in this situation in your career, like, things aren't going well. You've had a few poor results. They hadn't won in five, a lot of draws in there, and maybe even some good draws, but you could just feel like they needed this one. And you can tell when they came out with energy and with passion, they were ready to play. And I think that's what says so much about this team.
Yeah, I think there was obviously a fire. It was noticeable last night. But the one thing is, I actually saw Todd before the game. We were chatting, and it was like, hey, tough stretch, this and that. And it's like, before the match last night, Republic are still sitting in first place. So as much as it's kind of like, oh wow, bad run of form, this and that, like, it wasn't that bad because they were so on fire to start the season. So that's the upside of having that hot start. On the one hand, it's never sustainable, right? Like, no one's going to have that kind of performance for 34 games across, what is it, a 7-month season or whatever. Like, you're going to have your ups and downs, but to be able to have your downturn and after that you're still looking at, at the top of the table, looking down at everybody else, it's a pretty damn good place to be. And so, and then to come out and kind of have that sort of exclamation mark in the middle of the season against a good team. I know Phoenix is down the table a little bit, but that's still a good team. They have a ton of talent on that roster. And now it's just about continuing to stack those wins, and there's a really good chance to do it on Saturday.
Yeah, they had a pretty decent goal differential despite where they were at in the table until last night. that got banged up a little bit. All right, going into Vegas, I want to not talk about the team first and talk about the stadium, the travel, the heat. You've done this many times. What's it like going to Vegas? Short week. How are the guys going to be feeling going into this match?
I mean, playing in Vegas is very Vegas. It's just weird. The team has all the gimmicks. They have the llamas. They're always coming up with some sort of weird, halftime thing, whether it's like putting little inflatable pools on the field and letting kids come out. Like, it's always
I
weird
know.
stuff.
I'm kind of jealous.
Yeah,
I
you'd
like
have
to
a
get
field
weird
day
sometimes.
if you had that kind of rope. So yeah, it's just weird. And so you got to be prepared for that. And then, like you said, it's 115 degrees during the day, or whatever it may be in the middle of July. And so mentally, you got to be prepared. Now, Vegas's roster might not be the strongest, but there's so many weird things about that game that it's certainly one you can't take lightly.
Yeah, and it's one of those weird games. I mentioned, like, this is if you're any sort of like betting fan, not that we're a betting podcast by any means necessary, but this is what you would call a trap game. It just, I don't know, something about it. Top team versus last team. This is very much Orange County earlier in the year, right? Sacramento was in first, Orange County in last, and that was how Sacramento got their first loss on the road. So I don't think this is a match you can just go in and take Vegas lightly. I don't think you can. And I think this is like kind of a big 3 points. Let me tell you why. I was checking this out. So San Antonio 4 points down with a game in hand. They play Hartford this weekend, and Hartford in last in the East. So theoretically, if you lose to Phoenix, you're probably only going to be a point up against San Antonio, and they have a game in hand. So this is an important one to continue growing that lead in first place. And Vegas, as much as we talk about, oh, they're at the bottom of the table, like, the league is so deep now, anybody can beat anybody at the end of the night. It's more true than it's ever been. They've given up some big losses. They have a minus 16 goal differential. I think for Sacramento, it's got to be trying to get one early, because that's when we've seen the Republic. If you're talking about what the game plan is going in, to me, it seems like, all right, let's get one early and let's open up this game, because that's when Las Vegas is not going to be able to play with Sacramento.
Definitely. I mean, well, first of all, that should be the goal in every game, right? If you can come out to a hot start, especially with the team that Sacramento has. I mean, it's the high-powered offense, but it's the defense really that's been the calling card of the season, right? I mean, I believe we have the lowest goals against average in the league. If not, I know we have it in the West. So from that standpoint, if you can come out and get one early, that's always going to put us in a great position to win the match. But yeah, I mean, in Vegas, like you said, this league is different. You know, my rookie year, oh my God, it was like 10 years ago, but rookie year, it was a different league where you could look at the raw, you know, look at the schedule and be like, okay, that's a win. That's a win. We'll rest guys in that game. And that's a win. And you know, you can't do that anymore. All of these teams are too talented. They got too many guys that can hit you, you know, if you fall asleep for 1 second. And the one thing that's tough about playing in Vegas too, is that the dimensions of the field, it's a very small field. And so oftentimes for the teams that are, you know, the quote unquote better teams that kind of play better soccer, it's a bit of a struggle because you don't have the space that you're used to having. You know, playing in Sacramento, you can space them out and knock it around and this and that. In Vegas, you don't really have that luxury a lot of times. And then also just playing on those baseball fields, even though they don't use it for baseball anymore, it's still got some weird bumps here and there sometimes. So it can be challenging. It gets frustrating. And that's, you know, a big part of it is making sure, you know, it might be 0-0 at the half, and you can't let that, you know, take hold of what your goal is. Ultimately, you gotta keep the pedal down. You gotta stay focused. And again, you can't fall asleep, because even though they're in last place, they still got plenty of talented players that can hit you on a counter or one moment of brilliance. And all of a sudden you're 1-0 down and you're looking at a, you know, a tough road to climb.
You are, you're right, by the way. Republic number one in goals conceded at 15. Next highest is Pittsburgh at 18, and then Tampa Bay at 20. So pretty large lead on that front. Las Vegas has given up 35 goals. That's 20 more than Sacramento. Man, that's a big difference. And I did want to mention too, with the goal last night, Cicerone now back atop the league in the Golden Boot chase, which is exciting for him, as you mentioned, well-deserved. I want to ask you a question. You played for Coach Briggs. He's very much a guy who plays well, who takes his chance and plays well. Carlos Saldana has not gotten much run this year. He got an Open Cup match, I think, but other than that, hasn't gotten a whole lot of opportunities. Comes in last night, has a clean sheet, couple big saves. Now you go into the weekend. By the way, credit to Carlos for that, because we've seen Rafa Diaz in the past kind of have that similar where he's like the number two and then all of a sudden is able to get onto the field. But what do you do going into this weekend, Cam? What do you think? You think, just based on, you know, playing for Coach Briggs, you think he rewards Carlos and gives him the nod, or is he going to go back to Danny, who's kind of been the historic one?
Well, I'm not going to pretend to know that I have any idea what goes through Briggs' head. You know, the upside for him is it's a hard decision, right? I mean, you got two very, very quality goalkeepers that you could feel good putting either one of them out there. I mean, Carlos, it was a great performance. Obviously, anytime you can get a clean sheet, you walk away extremely happy. But it's tough, man. I mean, Danny's in line to, you know, get the Golden Gloves this year. So it's kind of hard to take that out of his hands at the same time. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I don't know. Again, I don't envy him. It's a tough decision, but you can feel good knowing that either way, you got somebody great in there.
Yeah, I do feel like there was a while early in the season where it felt like after the starting 11, there was a drop off, even the guys coming off the bench in the 18. And I think that, and not just talking the goalkeeping aspect, because I'm really not necessarily talking about that aspect, more of the field players. And it feels like Connor Donovan comes off the bench last night. You see Shane Weed, Jared Timmer, and Lee Desmond play the back three. You have Sosa play left wing back, a little bit out of position for him. You see these guys start to fill holes, Zigo Lewis last night, Kecko, and play well and excel in those spots. Now, I don't think Sosa is going to play left wing back for the rest of his career, but, you know, it's good to see guys step into roles and you know, allow Republic to now have some even more depth. And that drop off is now kind of gone. It's not good. It's not even there anymore. And I know that's good, not only for games, obviously, but it's also important for practice and for training, because then everyone feels more confident with one another. And that confidence, to me at least, and especially this stretch where I mentioned on the podcast last week, like, this is the easiest stretch of the year in terms of strength of opponent. I don't necessarily mean that that's going to be mean all wins for Sacramento, but if you just look at standings, you don't have anybody above sixth place in the next month. So it's a good opportunity for to continue to build a guy like Luther Arshman with Herrera out. Can he get a couple goals, get some confidence? Zico, can he get a few more goals, get some confidence? To me, that would make, when Sebastian then comes back, when Luis Felipe comes back, when Dami and Alder, that when they come back, that just raises the level a ton. And then coach has confidence. Everybody has confidence in each other. It just seems to me like that is a positive all the way around. Oh, by the way, Roro come back too. Like, so there's just so many positives. Am I wrong, Cam? Do you think that there's some merit there or no?
Yeah. Well, first of all, shout out to Sosa. Obviously got pulled at halftime last night and was walking with a pretty big limp. So we're thinking about him. Hopefully, you know, it's just a knock and nothing too bad, because, you know, we know this roster doesn't need any more injuries.
Right.
But no, you're 100% right. I mean, I think that's the biggest difference between this, you know, the team this year and teams in the past. You know, I was fortunate to be a part of some really, really good teams that had some really good finishes in the league and things of that nature. But I was never a part of a team that had the depth that this roster has, you know. It's pretty incredible. Obviously, there's certain guys that you look at and you're like, okay, those guys are stars and those guys are getting it done. But you look down, you know, 16, 17, 18, even past the 18, it's a lot of depth of different guys that you can plug in and feel like you're not really having much of a drop off. And so, to your point, you know, this next month, it's a pretty favorable schedule. I mean, we did talk about the fact that you can't take anybody lightly, but regardless, you'd still rather be playing Vegas than San Antonio. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so it's a pretty favorable schedule, and you got a chance to hopefully stack some wins while these guys are getting healthy. And then, you know, for that stretch run and trying to, you know, secure that one spot going into the playoffs, and especially for the playoffs, hopefully you got a fully healthy roster and, you know, you got your captain back. We've missed Roro a lot. But, you know, to have a guy like that out of the lineup for this long and still be having some of these results, it's pretty incredible. And so, yeah, hopefully within the next month or so, we're looking at a pretty healthy roster. And then, you know, the rest of the league better look out at that point.
Yeah, no kidding. Last thing before we let you go, you're on the call this weekend with Rob McAllister for the Vegas game. Excited for that, to hear some more of your analysis on the match. But I want to hear your thoughts about Zeke Padilla as a striker, seeing a young guy come in with that much confidence. I know he hasn't scored a goal, but it feels like it's coming at some point. He's come in, made an impact as soon as he stepped on the pitch in every match he's made. What have you seen from him that you've liked?
I mean, I see the youthful energy. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the biggest thing. He comes out and he plays hard and he doesn't look scared. It's easy for a young guy to come in and you're playing with grown men and for him to look scared. He doesn't look scared. He looks like he's having fun, and that's half the battle. If you're out there enjoying what you're doing, good stuff's going to come from that. And like you said, he hasn't scored yet, but you just get the feeling that there is going to be some sort of special moment at some point this season for him. And
yeah.
And it's fun because you can see the other guys, the way they cheer him on, the way, you know, mentoring him. I don't, you know, you can tell that other people are pulling for him too. So if and when that goal comes, you know, the whole team's going to go crazy and it's going to be an awesome moment.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm sure he is as well. So it's going to be a good upcoming stretch here. This is the last really tough midweek where, you know, 3 games in 7 days for quite a while. But a lot of road games coming up too. We didn't mention that, but I'm sure you guys will touch on that on the broadcast coming up on Saturday night. Cam Owosa, thank you, buddy. Thanks for letting me get a Moffitt ball joke in. I appreciate it. That's always
a pleasure, my friend.
That's only the reason I do this. If I can get a good Moffitt ball joke in, that's half of the reason I do this podcast. So
hey, it makes it way more enjoyable for me too. So I love it.
I hope the listener. I hope that listen, Moffitt, he's a good guy. All right. People are like, hey, you're bashing Moffitt. Let's calm down. All right.
It's because he can take it.
It's exactly right. He's might be the nicest guy on the planet. By the way, a heck of a player. So anyway. And he's on vacation this weekend, which is why you get to step in, which will be exciting too. So, all right, buddy. Thank you so much. And I will see you tomorrow, and the fans will see you on Saturday.
Looking forward to it.
Thanks, man. Thanks to Cam Owosso for jumping on the podcast. You can join him for the broadcast on Fox40.com, Antenna TV, and the Fox 40 News app this Saturday with Rob McAllister on the call, as well as in Spanish with Armando Boteo and Milton Moreno for a big match in Vegas in the heat. Good opportunity for the Republic to get three more points, extend their lead in first place. It should be a very, very good match. We thank you for your support of this podcast. Please rate, review, subscribe, or follow. And by the way, I quickly wanted to mention the very end. I don't care too much about this, but I thought it was cool. This is our 200th episode of The Breakaway. Pretty proud of everything we have done. I hope you've enjoyed all 200 episodes, maybe 150. It is, you know, as long as you enjoyed one, I'm happy. So thank you all so much for your support of the podcast all the way back in 2020. So it's been almost 4 total years now. So thank you again so much. 200 episodes. We're very excited and hope the next 200 get even better. So thank you again. And hopefully we get a win tomorrow night. As always, go Republic!